Testing, testing. 1, 2, 3. Okay, good. So, 8:12, we can get ready for puja. So tonight, who will be helping to light up the incense and the candle? Your father, Your father want to light the big oil lamp, Can. Then who else? Your volunteer, somebody. Oh, Elsie, Get Elsie to do it. Then who else? Somebody. Oh, Brother Song. Okay, right. Then Susan. Three of you come.
You two
can. Okay, no problem. I think there are enough candles. Come. Wait for Brother Tune's father to light the oil lamp. Okay, sadhu. Sadhu. You two can light the incense, the tall incense.
The incense.
Then the two candles, both of you, you light. Sadhu. Okay. I say no need, just like that. The small candle, round one. Sadhu. Sadhu. Okay, you all can stand, Then develop the faith, then we will start the puja offering. Start with the tray, Sadhu. So forgot the water. Sadhu. Sadhu. สาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุสาธุโอเค That's it. Thank you. You all can sit down. We will now do the salutation to the Triple Gem. Then after that, we will do the Puja Chantik. Then we will do the aspiration. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami Supatipanno Bhagavato Sāvaka Sangho Sanghaṃ Namāmi Okay, turn to page 4 of the chanting book. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Kamesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami
สุรามิรยามัจจาปะมาดัทธานะรัมมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาธิยามิ
เกวียนาจันตปฏิภาพุจัง
กันนะสารปฏิเตนะติเตนะตามะดังสินะตีโลกาดิปังสัมปตังปูจายามิตามโนดังสุอัสกันดาสัมบรยุตเตนะโดเปนะหังสุกังหินะปูจเยปูจานิยังตังปูจาบาจานะมุตตะมังวันนากันดาโกนเปตังเอตังกสุมาสันทตินปูจายามิมุนินดาสะสิริปะดะสารโรเหปูเจมิบุตังกสุเมนาเนนาปุณเณนามเตนะเจโหตุโมคังภูปังมิลายัตติยัตตาอิดังเมกายโยตัตตายัตตินาสบาวังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปานิยังปริกาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกังหาตุมุตตมัง
เทตันตุ page 18 we will do the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this offering. Understanding the significance of offering of light, we shall make the following aspiration. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fire of defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruits of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of all this offering, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will pay respect to Triple Jam. Buddhang pujemi. Dhammang pujemi. Sanghang pujemi.
you can be seated. Eh? Testing, testing. 1, 2, 3. Okay. Okay. We can now off the light, huh? Then we can have our meditation, huh? So today you can meditate for about 25 minutes, huh? We have enough time. So as usual, yeah? Relax body and mind. Make sure you have a stable posture. If you need to train your mind, you go ahead with the skillful means to train your mind. Yeah? If you are still new, you still got hindrance, then try to develop more and more mindfulness. We are deconditioning your heedless thinking using mind sweeping method. Then you combine it with loving kindness or metta. Yeah. Then for those who already have the ability to develop the silent mind, you can straight away stabilize it with whatever object of meditation that you are familiar with. That is just to anchor the mind so that this sati or mindfulness can be stabilized. If you are familiar with Anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and breath, then you just relax, silent, and allow the breathing to go on naturally. Then with your mindfulness, be with it, means the awareness and the breath move as one without thought. Then just like the Buddha said, yeah? Breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. Initially, if you are not familiar, you are not trained, the mind will wander off very fast. But be patient. Every time it wanders off, you return to your breathing. Maintain awareness in front of your nostril. Then whenever the mind can detect the breathing, just follow it, body and mind as one. The mind and the breath move as one. Yeah. Then just breathing in aware, breathing out aware. It will stabilize if you are patient enough. Every time it wanders off, you bring your attention back to the breathing. Yeah. Then after a while, it will stabilize. Yeah. For those who are already skillful, you will need to move on to the next step. The next step is relax into every mind state that arises. Even the anapanasati or whatever rising, falling, or whatever object of meditation, when you become very calm, very peaceful, you have to relax into all mind states. Then if there is any energy fill up or whatever that you experience, you just relax into it and flow with it. Do not resist any movement, even sleepiness, sloth and torpor, or whatever hindrance when they arise. Do not stir, do not react, just silent, maintain awareness. Then many things can be understood. Then even that sleepiness, it can go away. If you are mindful and be with it, there is no hindrance, because you neither like or dislike. You are at peace. When you are at peace, the silence will take over, sati will take over. And when the spiritual faculty of sati is there, there is no thought, there is just silence. So because of that, your mind will stabilize. Then all of a sudden, like there is a shift in consciousness that can bring about the transformation, that all of a sudden from that shift, you realize the sloth and torpor is gone, the sleepiness is gone, then in its place you will have this virya arising, the spiritual zeal, the very strong tenacity, the wakefulness. Yeah. That's why the faith will bring forth this virya. Then because you are silent, sati will be there. Then you can investigate into Dhamma. Then you can continue to relax and silence this silent mind or mindfulness. And after you stabilize, you just let things be. And within that silence, develop all the understanding that you need. In the form of meditation, if you can do it, then it will be easier later on to bring this trained state into the daily life. If in the form of meditation also you cannot do it and develop the mindfulness, the stability of it, then it's very difficult to cultivate in daily life, because in daily life your senses are active. You have to see things, hear things, smell things, tactile feeling things. You are actually living life. So when you live life, your senses are wide awake. Then you are engaged with life. So in the midst of life, it's not easy to develop mindfulness, to maintain mindfulness. So in the form of meditation, you have to train until it's very stable, until throughout the day, most of the time you are aware. Yeah. Then you start off with the four posture. Then from there, you connect the activity, the movement. So from sitting, how you actually shift your leg, move your leg, and how you come out of it. Then how you relax body and mind. Then later on, as you turn and move, you have to develop mindfulness. All this, you will come to understand as you progress. Then for those who already train their mind, stabilize their mind, you can just silence everything and stay at your breathing. Then this anapanasati will transform until the piti become very, very subtle. Then it transforms into sukha, which is a spiritual bliss. Piti is just a spiritual calmness or rapture, a spiritual joy. It's an enlightenment factor. It will make you like to meditate. But as you relax and silent more, it becomes very blissful, sukha. So sukha is not an enlightenment factor. It can draw you and lure you into attachment, because you will want it repeated during the meditation, because it has such great sensation. It brings about so much blissfulness within your mind. So this one, you have to be a bit careful. When they arise, you continue to relax into it and let things be. Then it will also come to pass. By then, your mind will be very calm. It will enter what they call pausati. Pausati is the silent mind, the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, the mind that has got no movement, no thought. So when you are able to develop this state, it's a good sign. It means you have progressed. And this is the mind that you need to develop the real meditation, to understand life. This is a silent mind that can see many, many things. They can see all the Dhamma arising within your own form and mind. So as you stabilize this pausati, it will become more and more clear to you what the meditative mind is, what the silent mind is. Then it's very easy to be heedful in daily life. So when the breathing or whatever object of meditation that you are doing become so subtle and so still, do not worry about it or panic. or go and do all those things that they teach you, like go and feel the sitting and touching. Forget about it. Just silence your mind. Stay there until that silence, which is paucity, become very clear, very stable. This is how you develop the mindfulness within your mind. So when your mind enters a sati, it becomes different. This paucity, as it stabilizes, it develops into samadhi. And this samadhi is not concentration, not absorption, not an energy field. It's just a continuous flow of paucity or sati. And this state, when you develop it, your mind become very clear, very calm, very peaceful. Then wherever you locate this mind, it is very sensitive. It can feel many, many things. If you are at your breathing, anapanasati, even the very subtle breathing will start to appear to you like it is a lot of movement within there. Then one breath like can be very, very long. And there is a lot of clarity in the entire process of breathing in and breathing out. And because of that, you can develop the calmness, the stillness, the tranquility. Then after that, wherever you locate this mind, it has the sensitivity to be aware. So you can relax, silent, and allow it to drop to your heart. You just feel. You will detect all the vibration there, even your heartbeat. Then it becomes very clear. Then you can just silence everything and stay there. Allow the awareness to be with the vibration. Yeah. Then as you relax further into it, you will detect a gateway later on, where all of your energy, yin and yang, if you can develop the silence more and more, more and more, it will melt inside. So this is what you're supposed to do in your meditation. You train your mind so that it has this ability to be mindful, to be very quiet, very still, and very silent. Then for those who are already very skillful, you can also do the lying down meditation. That is the best posture. Then wherever you locate that mind, it can be very, very sensitive. That's why you can understand many, many things. All of the essential Dhamma that the Buddha talked about, you will experience them within your form and mind. The Four Noble Truths, Dependent Origination, Five Spiritual Faculties, Seven Factors of Enlightenment, Five Hindrances, and even the Three Evil Roots. You will witness them all. Okay, I'll leave it to you to continue your meditation. I will ring the bell in about 15 minutes.
others still want to meditate, you can continue. For those that are not, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Then we shall now chant the invocation to the Deva. Turn to page 6 of your chanting book. Can on the light. Invocation to the Devas. I will read the English translation, then pass the wireless mic to Engby Sadhu. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or Devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine.
Samanta Chakvalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Sadhammam Muni Rajas Sunantu Sagmokadam Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Iti Beso Bhagava Arahang Sama Sambuddho Vija Charana Sampanno Sugato Lokavidu Anuttaro Purisa Dhammasarati Satta Deva Manusanam Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sandittiko Akaliko Ehi Bhasiko Upanayiko Pachatang Veditabho Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ujjupatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Michipatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Yadidam Chattari Purisa Yukani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa bhagavato savaka sangho ahuneyo pahuneyo dakineyo anjali karaneyo anuttarang punyang ketang lokasati sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, we will pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhang pujami, Dhammang pujami, Sanghang pujami. Okay, you can just relax yourself, then make yourself at ease. Develop some form of mindfulness or attentiveness. Then we will start the next session, which is reporting of meditation, followed by question and answer. You can ask any question that is related to the meditation or the teaching. And also you can ask me whatever relevant question as to how you can apply this teaching, which is the Buddha Dhamma, to help you understand life and help you overcome or resolve all of your so-called life problem or situation or suffering. Okay, now we open it up. Anybody who wants to report meditation or ask any question, you can. The mic is with Ingby. You just have to put out your hand. Don't be shy. Oh, good girl, you put out your hand, huh? Okay. She was moving her hair. Anybody? England, looking at me. Sure got question. Yeah, sadhu. You can ask. Push it all the way up.
Good evening, brother. In the office today. I have this unwholesome thoughts and frustration.
No
and
problem. You just share with us.
And when I went to the toilet, and I remind myself, brother, he said we collect. The anger, hatred, and I was so happy when I was able to see the
very good
the rising of the unwholesome. But when I went back to work,
it started again. So can you share with us roughly what is it like? What type of condition that make your mind react?
It continue to have all this anger.
No, never mind. What was the reason? You can describe, you don't mind.
Oh, because of the work.
Never mind. Describe the work. What is the nature of work? Was it because somebody who is your superior that give you that stress or problem?
Or your because colleague? We are short of staff.
Then what happened?
So we have deadline, is it?
Okay.
So with the work, cost me this.
I know. So you are under pressure.
Yeah.
So your emotion starts to stir, then you start to move. So what did you do when it happened, when you knew, when you are aware that this is coming and happening?
I keep on reminding myself not to.
Not to get angry, not to be emotional, but you cannot stop it, understand? Because that is the first phase that you went through. You have some Dhamma knowledge, but you cannot live it, you cannot apply it. That's why this is the condition. So this is a very good question because it can bring for a lot of understanding. These are the questions that early, during the early days, those who came during the early batch, they always ask me work-related problems, stress, then some relationship-related, then some is within the household problem with their children, their spouse. Then there are also other first noble truth-related issues. Sometimes it's mother-in-law, sometimes it's neighbors. So all this reflect the Dhamma that the Buddha taught. These are the realities of life and existence that the Buddha spoke about in the First Noble Truth. He said there are these eight realities of life and existence. As a living being, you live long enough, you will confront them all. Then when you confront them, you don't have wisdom and understanding, you will suffer. You will develop affliction. You will become like what you describe, full of frustration, unhappiness. Then you like no more peace. And you just don't know what to do. Then you went to toilet. Then in the toilet, nobody disturb you, or less condition where you don't see them. Then you recall the Dhamma, what Brother Theo say, but because you didn't reflect, contemplate, and develop the understanding of it, the stability of it. So what helped you was, you can recall to mind that there is such Dhamma, but you don't know how to apply, you don't know how to use it to develop understanding over what happened, then develop the wisdom to be at peace with all those things. And when you can do that later on, you will know how to attend to it. It's not going to be a problem. All these so-called problem or stress, they are not real. Not real in the sense the one that understands, they will understand that they are not real. But the one that don't understand is very real, tormenting them, making them miserable. And this is what the Buddha said, or termed as suffering, affliction, misery. That's why you see the frustration, the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the deadline. So all this, you can develop clear understanding when you reflect and contemplate into what the Buddha had taught you. First, you look at the Noble Truth, the Four Noble Truths, which is the essence of the Buddha's teaching. The First Noble Truth explained to you all this reality, so you check this particular thing that you are going through. Which of the reality is it? Now I ask you. Out of the eight reality, which is it? Which one? Definitely not the first four. Nothing to do with birth, old age, sickness, and death, isn't it? Then, nothing to do with separation, isn't it? From loved one or choice possession. The next one is what? When you are with people whom you don't like. Understand? When you cannot get what you want. So what happened? When things don't go your way. When your expectations are not met. That's why you will develop all this frustration, emotion, anger, hatred, fear, worry, anxiety. And this is what suffering is all about. This is the First Noble Truth. So what did the Buddha say after he proclaimed this First Noble Truth? You're supposed to develop the contemplative wisdom, the three turning. The second turning of the First Noble Truth is what? What is the second turning? This noble truth of suffering is to be understood. If you this one also cannot recollect, no wonder you don't know how to overcome it. Now I use the whiteboard to explain. The That's why you have to go into all this. These are cultivation. The three turning of the Four Noble Truths. Wow, this duster is very good, a magnetic one. I don't have to use much effort. It grips to the whiteboard by itself. So this is not attachment. Attachment is the mind with the intention. This one is naturally happening. So it's got nothing to do with attachment. Because this one got no mind. Don't say everything that holds is attachment. No, not necessary. Because there is a magnet. There are forces that bring them together. Like your form and mind trapped inside. Understand? So when it comes to the Dhamma, the teaching is very beautiful. So second turning. First Noble Truth. First Noble Truth. This Noble Truth of dukkha or suffering is to be, I use the red color. Understood. How can you develop this understanding? Well, this is a very good example. How do you cultivate this? Second turning. It's only when you have experience suffering, then you can really cultivate it. Otherwise, it's just a reflection, contemplation. Means you reflect on it, you contemplate. It's like theory. And so, or birth, old age, sickness is suffering. Then you try to reflect. What is birth? Why did the Buddha say it's suffering? Is it true, the statement, birth is suffering? Yeah? Is it true? The mother will know, yes. But for normal people, if you go and think like most parents, especially the men, oh, first child, going to be a father soon, there is so much joy in that. First baby, then you look forward to it. There is so much hope and joy. Then after that, you look forward to buying the baby clothing, buying the bed, the rocking chair, everything. Actually, when you do all this without understanding, you attach already. If something goes wrong, you become miserable. So this is what suffering is all about. Then another aspect to look at it is, when this expectation builds up, then you plan the name, everything. Then you want to celebrate the first full moon day. Then you plan who to invite. Oh, especially your career just pick up, you bought a beautiful house, you just ran away, then you want to show off your house, you plan all this. Then later on, something happened. The baby could not really develop the full 10 months to be delivered, or some complication. What happened? You will be afflicted. And this suffering is like what? England went through, except it's in a different way, when your expectations are not met, when things don't go your way. So all this can lead to a lot of suffering. Then let's say everything go your way, then it's about time to give birth. As a mother, they will know when they carry this baby for the last 10 months, it's not easy, I tell you. There is so much sacrifice and suffering that comes with it. If you don't have a true motherly love, you will react to it. And some, they develop so much aversion towards it. They complain so much, then they threaten. You see some of the, what they call, astro show or whatever, the Siu Lai Lai, or how they threaten. If it's so sinful, I don't want to give birth. Then they know the mother-in-law or kanchong, or want the grandchild. Then they throw tantrum. They pull up their tarik haga, all those things. So these are the things that they will do, because it's not easy. Especially the morning sickness that come the first few months. Then after that, as the baby grew,
many things can happen. You have to be very careful. Your movement, your gait, all they slow down, and you cannot move the way you used to move. Then you dare not simply eating, and you are scared. Whatever that you like ice and all those things, can actually bring about complication that you have stress in the office. The so-called conception may not stabilize. A lot of ladies who are working, career lady, they have miscarriage very often. I got one sister-in-law earlier on. First two miscarriage. Then third one only, the moment she conceived, she start to take things easy, slow down, take more leave. Then don't want to have such stressful job. Then only they deliver. Then the birth process is also not easy. You know, lady, when they go through the birth process, there is so much pain involved, throbbing. Then before it's born, the baby can kick you. It's an experience to know that, to experience that. I even felt how the tummy there, like one thing swell up. Then after that, it disappear again. So there were many things. So these are what you can learn. Suffering is to be understood. So as you go through, you reflect, it becomes clearer, more towards reality. Otherwise, it's just like knowledge. That's not. Unless you already develop some form of experience in life, then you can reflect on all those things because you have gone through them. You have experienced them. So coming back to this one, I want to share with you is how to develop that understanding. Like in this case, we identify the six and seven reality. Agree or not? When you are with people whom you don't like because the colleague and the office lack of staff, they give you so much stress. They put deadline into you and all those things. Then you don't know what to do because your fear is what? If you cannot deliver, which you know chances are you cannot deliver, you got fear that you may lose your job or you may be scolded, reprimanded, action taken. So all this came from where? Your thought projection. Where you don't know how to confront all these things. You don't know how to attend to all these things. That's what the First Noble Truth is all about. So the Buddha said, when you confront them without wisdom, suffering will arise. Then he asked you to go to the second turning. Suffering is to be understood. So how can you understand suffering unless you face it, confront it? Then you tell yourself, this is blessing in disguise. Because if I don't go through this, I got no chance to develop the clear understanding of what suffering is, what dukkha is. So after I have described all those things to you, then you reflect. You reflect. Is that suffering, your fear, your emotion, your frustration, your projected thought that bring forth so much uncertainty, insecurity, all this develop into worry, frustration, emotion, then there is no peace. Understand? That is suffering. So you ask yourself, your life, is that what you want? If that is not what you want, then what must you do? You move on to the next noble truth and find out what did the Buddha teach. What is the second noble truth? What is the second noble truth? Not only cause of suffering. Everybody tell me standard answer. First noble truth, life is suffering. Second noble truth, cause of suffering. The cause is craving, but you have to go deeper into it. The Buddha actually proclaimed it very clearly. He said, whatever suffering that you experience from the first noble truth, there is a cause behind its arising. Understand? So if you know there is a cause behind its arising,
then you know how to resolve it, isn't it? If you know what suffering is and you know the cause, you will know how to manage your life better, isn't it? You will know how to attend to it, isn't it? So the cause of suffering is what? The Buddha says it's craving, just like what Michael mentioned. Craving born of what? Sakkayadity, self-delusion. What is craving? Like and dislike and self. Positive craving is your expectation, what you want. You want it this way. You want to experience those good things. Then negative craving is what you don't want. Your envy, your jealousy, your dislike, your unpleasant state of mind. So all these are craving. Craving born of what? Self-delusion. When you think you exist as a human being, you have a personality. That's why this one, Sakkayadity, self-delusion, will bring about suffering. Because this one as an entity will believe that you exist. And you want to be happy. You want to be peaceful. You want to have the good life. But you don't know how to do it. Then your fear comes from your job. Insecurity. You worry you will lose your job. You worry if you don't deliver, your boss will scold you, discipline you, reprimand you, or sack you, or fire you. So all these are common problems or realities of life and existence. So when you understand that this brings forth suffering, and there is a cause behind, because we attach, we cling through wrong view. So what did the Buddha advise you to do? This cause of suffering, which is craving, is to be abandoned or severed. That is the second turning of the second noble truth. Then the third noble truth said, suffering need not be. You can develop the wisdom in the here and the now. You can realize the enlightenment. Of course, that one you don't have yet. So you cannot rely on that to act. So what you can rely on is the first two noble truths. If I know this is suffering, if this is my life, I will have to become very serious about life. I don't want to come every life, every birth, to go through this misery, this suffering. This is not living life. This is worrying about life. Be afflicted in life. Become so miserable. And this is what suffering is. So if this is not what you want, then you have to strive on with heedfulness to train your mind to develop the understanding and the wisdom so that you can reverse all these things, so that you can attend to all these things. So when the Buddha said in the second noble truth, this cause of suffering, which is craving, is to be abandoned. How can you abandon it? You cannot say, let go lah, I don't care lah. Then the other thought comes, they sack you, you lose your job, you got no more money. Again, worry, fear. Because you cling, you grasp, you hold, you worry about that job. Then you worry about not able to deliver. All this is the you inside there. But if you know that this is just form and mind, then what do you do? What do you do? Then you don't have to worry, you don't have to attach, you don't have to cling, you don't have to hold, you don't have to have like and dislike, you just tell yourself, this is the reality, this is my company, the management is like that, they will do things like that. So as an individual, what must I do? Yours is at least not so bad. You ask that sister, what's your name? You work in the bank. What is your name? I forgot. Joanne. You ask Joanne, worse still. She was full of fear and phobia, you ask her. She worked in the bank for 10 over years. Almost 10 years plus a bit. And they threatened to dismiss her. Sack her and all those things. And she was under tremendous fear. Pressure, everything. I remember at SJBA, I was giving a talk. on how to be a what a true Buddhist devotee. I think something like that. Then I talk about the first noble truth and all those things. Then she realized that was what she was undergoing. Then she came and see me immediately after. I saw the fear in her and all those things. So I told her, you have to slowly learn the Dhamma and develop the understanding. But at that time she can't understand. She cannot understand. She keep on telling me what, no. Until they want to sack me already. They all purposely all like gang up together and want to reprimand me and ask me to sign this, sign that. Then I look at her and say, so, what are you going to do? No amount of fear, worry, anxiety will help you, understand or not? First thing first, calm yourself down, understand or not? That is what meditation is all about, understand or not? Develop the ability to silence. Calm yourself down. Then you have clarity of mind, understand or not? Then only you can act, understand or not? If you are full of fear, worry, anxiety, frustration, misery, what happened to you? There is no peace, no clarity, understand or not? You are being gripped by fear, worry, anxiety, and suffering and misery. So such a mind cannot act, understand or not? These are all hindrance of mind. The main one is what? Restlessness. That's why you say you have to go to the toilet only, you calm down a bit. Then come back again, the whole thing start all over again. Because you have not developed a clear understanding to accept this reality and to move on. To move on is very simple. There is nothing life-threatening. Your so-called problem compared to those who have health problem, financial problem, those are worse, especially health problem. If they are diagnosed with certain terminal disease, the doctor say you got 6 more months, what happened? That one is more life-threatening and more traumatic. Or those who had this accident or bad news, lead to death or whatever, or that was, those are more serious. So this one is relatively mild, but if you don't understand, it can be very traumatic, like her case. She almost went into depression already. Keep on repeating those words after she came to my house again to say, because Suyan was so worried. So after that, I refer her to Suyan. Then after, before Suyan go off, I think she said, Mateo, you have to attend to this particular sister who came to your talk. I was in Macau, now I remember. I was with Alicia. I received the WhatsApp. Then I replied, I said, I'm overseas. Wait for me to come back. Then after I came back, he came to my house. Then luckily I explained to her, then she understand. Even her case become very simple, nothing life-threatening. That's why when you understand what suffering is, and you really wake up to the reality that this is really suffering and this is not what I want, then you become serious about life. Then you become serious about cultivating to develop the understanding and the wisdom so that you need not suffer anymore, so that you don't have to go through all this anymore, so that you can confront life with wisdom and understanding, not with your delusion. If your conditioning, if your fear, worry, anxiety, all this will not help you. No amount of fear can help you. Always remember that. And you remember what I say, whatever happens, do not panic. Do not become unhappy. Do not worry. Can you remember? No? First one is what? Do not panic. Huh? Do not, second one, unhappy means react with fear, worry, anxiety or thing. Then the last one, don't go and worry over the problem. It will not help you, understand? So what must you do? You learn meditation to help you to develop the inner peace, the silent mind, the inner well-being, understand? And then go back, relax in your room, do mind sipping method. Forget about all these so-called problems because they are all sankhara, thought-related. It's only a thought. How come it has such power? Who gave it meaning? Through your fear, through your worry, through your anxiety, through your thought projection, through your grasping and clinging to your aggregates of mind, where you think they are real. You think they really affect you because you think this entity is being affected, afflicted, and so on. So all this is sakayadity. So if you can reflect and contemplate, you will start to understand that if you know that these are only your thought, which is sankara, the Buddha says, sabbe sankara anicchang. All of sankara is impermanent. They come and they go. So if you accept them for what they are, you are at peace. That's why you can just relax, silent, and meditate. Then in no time, you are at peace. There is clarity. That is the mind that can understand things. That is the mind that can act. That is the mind that can reflect clearly on the Buddha Dhamma. Then you tell yourself what really is happening. Then you take out a piece of paper and write it down. Company is like that. They want things like that. They put pressure on their staff and other things. So as a staff, what are my duty? What are my rights? What can I do to help out the situation, to help the company to resolve all these issues amicably so that everybody is happy, so that nobody is afflicted, so that all this that bring about so much negativity need not arise. When you reflect and contemplate, and when you write it down, you have clarity, and you start to understand the actual problem. You are not worrying about the problem. You are not reacting to the problem. You are at peace with the problem. Means what? You accept things as they are. You accept them for what they are. The world is the world. People is just the way they are. So after that, you ask yourself, what are my options? How can I help to resolve all this amicably? They cannot do anything to you, understand? Like what I told Joanne. Yes. You want to share? Pass the mic to her. Very good. Yeah, pass the mic. It's for the recording. Very good. Sadhu. Very good.
I just want to say, Brother Stills is very king.
Okay.
After 10 minutes of advice, my life really changed a
lot. She calmed down and no more problem.
I can decide better now.
There is more clarity, and she has been coming to that class. And Dhamma is applicable to life. It's not a theory. That's why I say, like England, how many years already meditating and with the Dhamma? Got 10, 20 years? Longer than you are. And yet, you confront the reality without much understanding. That's why I say, all those that you all learn is not Dhamma. It's all knowledge you cannot apply. Because it's not an understanding. When you understand, you can apply. So, you tell yourself, you have been working there for so long, means what? You have qualification or no? When you apply for a job, how long you work for the company? Right? 2.5 years. Good enough. Because when you apply, you submit your CV, your qualification, right? Then they go through the interview. Then they agree to accept you, even as a temporary staff under probation. Maybe 3 months or 6 months. Then after that, did they confirm you? So they confirm you. Means what? You have been accepted, understand or not, with whatever qualification and experience that you had to do the work. You are given that job offer with the title salary, of course with the company's rule that you have to work on. As long as you fulfill your duty, you try your best, you do what you have to do, they cannot do anything to you. They cannot even threaten you, like her case, take discipline, ask her to sign that because you are incapable of delivering. Because they put ridiculous deadline and project to her. Some project, he said, she got no way of handling it because she don't have the experience. And it's beyond her and herself. So I told her, why you worry? When they appoint you and confirm you, means they accept you. You are qualified. You don't have to worry about what they tell you. You can even reply to them, I have tried my best. So that's it. Then if you dare to speak up, you tell them in the meeting, I think the problem is not because I cannot deliver. It's because I think your company got not enough resources, manpower. Then certain thing, if it's beyond your scope, you have to tell them. If you want me to do this, can. Promote me and send me for course. Understand? So that I learn all this, like management and all those things. Then I will be able to do. But if you don't send me for course, don't promote me, and you expect me to, in Cantonese, what? Yak yop tang, one leg kick and ask you to handle everything. Where got such thing? You cannot do things like that. So when you have clarity of mind, you will tell yourself, as long as I try my best, that's it. And you can even tell them, no, my working hour is 9 to 5. After that is my time. You know. If you want me to work, you have to talk to me nicely. You know. It's not the other way around. Your labor law also got maximum how many hours of OT. And OT you can refuse one. There is no such thing that they can force you. Of course, in the appointment letter, they will put a very general clause. Whatever that the company assign you, you must do and follow. But all this doesn't carry any weight when you go to arbitration or industrial court and the sala, because they will lose. Under the labor law, they have to respect you as a worker. You have your rights. And most of the time, even if they dismiss you without proper reason, which most of the time they don't have, then they have to compensate you, and you will receive a lot of compensation. There is a lot of precedent already. Finally, you only have to reply when you receive the letter. You say, I do not agree with the content because I was appointed. Then accepted, confirmed into the job, means I am qualified. And if I am qualified, as long as I try my best, you cannot fault me. So all those things you say, I do not agree. And then you put a full stop. Then you say, I reserve my right to, like, go to industrial court or whatever, to receive the proper compensation and all those things. But you don't have to go to that extent. You can resolve it in the meeting. So the meeting, you can voice out, or they allow you to speak up, then you can tell them what you feel. Whether what they have given you is something that is reasonable, that deadline can be fulfilled, or what, or is there some other problem? So you only need to be honest about it. Then don't have to fear. Fear what? Company cannot deliver, company lose money, it's company's problem. As long as I do my duty, I don't cheat, I don't deceive, I don't do all those funny things. That's why I ask her the first thing, do you violate any of the company rule? Do you go to office late? Do you create? All these things were not there. Of course, he got some relationship issue with one of the staff. I said, that is beside the matter, not important. So there are many things in life that can bring about all these things. But when you have clarity of mind, you will know how to reflect clearly and develop the understanding of what has happened. Then given that understanding, you ask yourself, what are my options? How can I resolve this amicably? Means what? You're right there. No amount of worry, fear, anxiety, and panic will help me to understand this problem or resolve this problem. So I must have clarity of mind. I must have mindfulness, heedfulness, awareness. then only I can attend to my so-called problem in inverted comma or situation. Because to me, there is no such thing as a problem in this world. You know why no problem? Right? You sure don't believe it. We got no problem in this world. Yeah? Do you agree? Right? I say there is no such thing as problem to me. Why you call it a problem? Yeah? Ah, you cannot solve. That's why you call it a problem. So to me, there is nothing I cannot solve. That's why I got no problem. You know what is the problem or not? Something that you cannot solve. Understand that? But first, no. First thing first. Why do you call it a problem? Why do you call it a problem? Because you perceive with, you perceive it with negativity. So this is the cause of suffering. When you perceive anything with negativity, you have fear, you have worry, anxiety. Then you say, hey, my problem. Then you know what you will do. Let's say this is very hot tea, boiling, hot tea. If you hold, what happened? It will burn you and torment you. Then when you can feel the heat, the burning and the tormenting, you will automatically know how to put it down. Correct? Then no more tormenting you and burning you. Then you learn. And I say, oh, next time be careful. I hold here. I don't hold there. Then I can slowly blow it or put ice and I can drink. But when they come to first number through reality, you don't know how to do because it doesn't burn you and torment you this way. It burn you, torment you mentally without you knowing. Understand? Through suffering, through affliction. So human being's problem is what? He said, this is my problem. That's why Sakayaditi, self-delusion, my problem. So what they do? They hold on to it, worry about it, complain. This is burning you, tormenting you. That's why you complain. You become miserable. You react. And this is suffering at the mind level. But you never see this. That's why you suffer. Why must you hold, complain, react, and become miserable? Why can't you like this red hot thing? If you know that it's burning you, tormenting you, and causing you so much suffering, the cause is attachment. So don't attach. Don't crave. But without wisdom, you cannot. But at least you know how to put it down. Put it down means what? You accept it for what it is. At peace with it first. So, do not perceive anything with negativity. Sorry, this word didn't finish. Negativity. So, you do not perceive life problem with negativity, then what happened? If I can perceive it as a reality, like what the Buddha said, this is one of the realities of life and existence. Not only I confront, every living being has to confront. Agree or not? Yeah? Like old age, sickness and death. Everybody has to confront in there. Separation, career problem, like what they go through. At one time or other, if you are in the career field, you will confront them. So when you confront them with understanding, then there is no more problem. Understand? How do you confront them with understanding? Means you do not react. You do not perceive it with negativity. Otherwise, there is fear, worry, anxiety. You perceive it as a common reality of life and existence. Every living being has to experience this. If you live long enough, like the Buddha said, you have to confront it. So what is the difference between the one who suffer and the one who don't suffer? Yeah? What is the difference? The one who don't suffer understand. Never perceive it with negativity. It's just move on with clarity of mind, peacefulness of mind, just do what he has to do, attend to it and resolve it amicably, with what? With Noble Eightfold Path, with understanding. The Noble Eightfold Path is incapable of negativity, with right view, not to argue with people, not to take revenge, not to deceive, to cheat, to manipulate, and take advantage of. Even if you are in a position of authority, you cannot do it. But this has karmic effect, understand? So when you resolve things with understanding amicably, means you apply Noble Eightfold Path. You speak to people nicely, appropriate right speech. Then you act with proper responsibility, right action, without negativity, without selfishness, without emotional negativity, without fear, without worry and insecurity. Then you arise the kind thought, the pure thought, the wholesome thought. You radiate love and metta to your colleagues. You wish them well-being. Then when you go in with that type of positive energy field, the meeting also will go on more smoothly. All the meeting I go in, I got no more problem. I got no more argument. But the first thing I tell them is, we are here to work as a team, to resolve problems, so that we don't blame each other, point finger. Every time office you argue on that department, this department, you lah, he lah. End of the day, you have to work towards company objective, understand? The organization belongs to all the staff. And if it's a problem, so-called inverted comma, it is the company's problem, understand? You have to resolve it. Resolve it means what? Don't argue over the problem. Don't try to point finger and blame. That will not help. What we need is to identify the problem. What is the problem? Then how can we approach this problem? How can we resolve it amicably? Which department is good at what? Okay, can you help to do this part or not? Can you attend to the client to resolve this or not? You speak like that, they will say, no problem, I will do it. But you say, hey, your problem, you create all this shit, you go and sort it out. You think you're happy, that department, even you force him with authority, after he go out, you know what he said? This, he will call you this burger, he said, be careful. Next time, if I got chance, I will take revenge. They are not happy because you point finger, so you blame. So, understand that all living beings, before they have wisdom and understanding, their ego are very strong. They can actually become unhappy like you, just like what they went through. Frustration and emotion and all those things. So when you understand all this, you will come to know no amount of all this fear, worry, anxiety and frustration can help you. Can help you solve your problem and develop any tangible action. So you have to accept them for what they are, at peace, and ask yourself, what am I doing? Why am I so woke up? Then you reflect, so much delusion, self-delusion. You attach and cling on to so many things. You worry and project your thought and create all this unnecessary suffering. So who is to blame? Not you. Your delusion, that's all. Your sakayadity. So it's not you. You are beautiful when you have understanding. Because this form of mind is just a vehicle that comes. The user of this form of mind is very important. If the user is deluded, sakayadity, it will not know how to use. That's why this form of mind will land himself into problem. But if the user of this thought process and this body has wisdom, which is the Dhamma that you're supposed to cultivate and develop and learn, then this form of mind got no more problem. It will know how to attend to situation and solve the problem. Like Sister Joanne say, Brother Theo is very good at all this. He used the word king. To me, it's something that I understand, I share with people. And I have resolved a lot of people's suffering and problem, even depression. Some cannot even talk to them. You only need to understand nature's law. And all these are possible. Where is in the teaching? This is what Sakyamuni Buddha teach. And you should count your blessing as a Buddhist. You are given such great teaching free. This is the only free lunch in this world. Nothing else. And with this understanding of life from the Buddha's teaching, you can become the most beautiful living being ever to exist in this world. You can be an enlightened one, noble one. Your life can become so different. No more suffering from that moment onward when you understand his teaching and awaken to his teaching. There is only peace, there is only love, there is only joy. There is only understanding. And you become so different, so noble in your understanding of life. So noble in the way you arise your thought, in the way you communicate, speak and act. So noble in the way you live your life. And you have a lot of understanding. That's why you can have this right effort to constantly purify. Then you will develop strong mindfulness that will make you heedful, that will make you aware of what is going on. You will be able to be aware of your fear, your own frustration, your own evil root, and how this come about. That's why the Buddha said the four foundation of mindfulness. You trace the origination factor, how the form and mind, due to delusion, reacts, stir, and become what it is. And the cause of suffering, which is craving, attachment, clinging, born of delusion. All this you will start to see them. Without mindfulness, you cannot see them. Without mindfulness, you are as if dead. Because the Buddha said the heedless are as if dead. Without mindfulness, there is no heedfulness. Understand? So you calm yourself down, accept them for what they are. Don't even develop any negativity against them or hatred or unhappiness against them. Where your thought will project, no? How can my colleague be so selfish? How can he do this to me? How can my boss be so ridiculous? How can he give me this type of deadline? You think all this can solve your problem or not? All this will make you more and more frustrated, emotional, negative. And all this has nothing to do with Noble Eightfold Path. Understand? No right view, no right thought, no right speech, no right action, no right livelihood. I already explained to you what is wrong thought. You know how much wrong thought went through your head or not when you develop that type of frustration. The wrong thought are thought that will condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your frustration, your selfishness, your insecurity. All these are wrong thoughts. Then why you think that thought? If they are wrong thought, you supposed to arise the right effort to abandon them. Abandon those wrong thoughts that has arisen. Then you supposed to develop the mindfulness to prevent them from arising in the future. Because you can see them. The mental intention, these are evil, evil root. Wrong thought are thought with the three evil roots. That's why they are wrong thought. They make you evil. They make you selfish, emotional, then fearful. All these are wrong thought. So, when you understand what is wrong thought, then you will know how to be mindful of it. You can ask Alicia now, she's an expert in that. Because last time, 15 over years of depression, she got a lot of this very negative wrong thought, worse than yours. And she came out of it just beautifully through understanding on it. She only heard what I say, it's only a thought. How come it has such power over you? Over the living being. It's just a thought, isn't it? And thought come and go. How come it can have such power to make me so fearful, so miserable, so frustrated, so emotional? Until I lost my ability to live life. It gave rise to so much suffering and affliction. So what is going on? It's only a thought, asana. And who give it such power? Your delusion, your self-delusion, attach, cling, and hold, and give meaning, gave it such power. Nobody can make you miserable and unhappy. If you are aware and heedful, you have the understanding. Because your life, you hold the key to your own life destiny, to be happy or unhappy, or otherwise it's entirely your choice. So choose wisely. Choose to be happy. Choose to be peaceful. But the problem with the world is, why are most living beings not happy and not peaceful? You mean they don't know how to choose? Cannot be. It's because they don't have the Dhamma. They are deluded. They don't know that there is a understanding that can bring about the transformation, the awakening, and the change. So always remember, do not panic, do not react, do not worry and fear. Calm yourself down. That's what I asked Joanne to write down first. Calm yourself down. Do not react, do not blame, do not create all this negativity. You know what is karma? When you got fear, worry, anxiety, all this karmic negativity, this will create the condition for negative karma to come. Then you will be afflicted. More and more of this will come and hit you. That's why the Buddha said, we are all born out of karma. Hey, to your karma. Condition is important, right? You are what you are because of your karma. So when you create negative energy field, this is the condition for negative karma to come. That's why you will get into big trouble. But when you start to develop wholesomeness, metta, compassion, loving kindness, generosity, contentment, gratitude towards others that have helped you, sincerity, honesty, heedfulness, all this will make you very different. Then you train your mind to be at peace with the moment, to have more and more of this inner peace, inner happiness, and inner joy. Then all these are very positive energy field. Then you radiate love and metta to yourself and to all beings. Then this positive energy field will create the base for all the positive karma to come. That's why as you cultivate the Buddha Dhamma, follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil by keeping the precept, then to develop all the wholesomeness and goodness through right action, right speech, right thought, and right mindfulness, you will become very beautiful. Asana. So all this will transform you because you will receive a lot of merits and blessing. Then when you listen to the Dhamma, straighten your view, pay respect, renew your precept, rejoice, transfer merit, you do all the 10 meritorious deeds. And these are very powerful merits. Then you invoke the power of merits to aspire for better life, to progress along the path of Dhamma, to develop the wisdom so that you can understand life, so that you can liberate your mind, so that you can have the good life. So all this is in the teaching. If you understand you have been doing all this, your life will be beautiful. You will not have such problems. But maybe what you went through early on, nobody teach you this way. The teaching and the life, like two separate things, they cannot relate to you. How the Dhamma can actually be explained in the context of life itself, and what constitutes craving. Then you have to go into the five aggregate of form and mind. That's why the Green Book is very good, to understand who you are, what you are, and develop the silent mind and meditate until you get insight into the three characteristics. Then you realize they are all not so real. Condition arising, cause of phenomena, five aggregate of form and mind, no reality. So who fear? What fear? The thought fear. Your nature never fear. Because this one is the unborn. This one is beyond thought, beyond mind. This one is just silent, aware, clarity. This one can develop the wisdom. Then when you understand that this form and mind is not you, karmically conditioned now for you to use, to live like, to experience all of the beauty and wonders, all, then you use it. The user of this form and mind is very important. Use it with wisdom. Then this one become beautiful. This one become like an enlightened being. Asana. Because when there is wisdom behind from the nature, it will no longer be deluded by what it see, what it hear, what it smell, what it taste, what it tactily feel or think. Means the phenomenal world of consciousness will have no more power over the form and mind. Then it will see clearly their universal characteristics of impermanence. If you grasp, cling and hold and want things your way, which is not nature's way, suffering will arise. And who suffer? The form and mind suffer through delusion. There is no reality. It's not you. That's why you will not worry about this body getting old, getting sick, and one day die. Nothing die. No one die. It's the separation of condition. It's only the five aggregate of form and mind. Condition arising, cause of phenomena. All this is in the teaching. And it's all been checked before. You only need to slowly read it up, develop the contemplative wisdom and understanding. Then we haven't finished. Second turning of the first noble truth, second noble truth. The third noble truth, there is about this realization of enlightenment, which is Nibbana. So under the second turning, the Buddha said, this realization of enlightenment, which is Nibbana, is to be what? Realized. You have to realize it. Means what? You have to cultivate and develop the understanding so that you can awaken to it. Then how to do it? The fourth noble truth. The Buddha said there is a noble eightfold path. If you cultivate this noble eightfold path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. That's why your purpose of meditation is to end all suffering, isn't it? To become enlightened, isn't it? So this is the meditation. Then under the second turning of the fourth noble truth, what did the Buddha say? This noble eightfold path is to be cultivated. If you have done that, you got no more suffering. You will not have to face all these things. What is noble eightfold path? You must have heedfulness to cultivate. First one is right view. When you have right view, you got no more problem. You understand the law of karma. You understand that what you are going through has a lot to do with karma. When you are in position, maybe previous life or other life, you have been acting like your recent boss, giving people pressure, deadlines, stress. You cause so much suffering. So now come back, you become victim. You kena back from people. So, that is karma. So when you understand, what must you do? You need to ask for forgiveness. Ask for forgiveness. Understand? Then you repent. In future, I'm not going to do this to anybody. I'm not going to repeat all these mistakes. So that in future, when I come, I don't have such condition to go through such retribution and affliction. Understand? Then now, how you live your life is very important. Your future depends on what you do now. If you react with fear, worry, anxiety, frustration, I tell you, you will come out with all the wrong speech, wrong thought, then you become miserable through your fear or something. So you cannot resolve things amicably. You cannot talk to people nicely. If you have the Dhamma, you can even help your colleague. Don't worry. We will be able to resolve all this amicably because you only have to try our best. Why must we worry about what the boss say and all this thing? He is just the way he is. Because he wants people to deliver. That's why he is also under tremendous pressure to deliver. So that's why he passed the buck to you. And you don't know how to pass the buck because you got no more subordinate to pass the buck. You hold on to it and become miserable like just now. Then you don't know what to do, you become frustrated, emotional, fearful. Then all this haunting you, you grip onto it and the thought keep on coming. Not long, you will enter depression if you are not careful. Understand? Because these are the things that make you worry. So you accumulate, you cling, you grasp, you hold. That's why the Buddha say in the final summary of the first noble truth, in short, it is due to your sakkayadity, self-delusion, that condition you to grasp and cling onto this five aggregate of form and mind, that condition your suffering. That's why the aggregates of grasping, upadana khandas, they will lead to suffering. So what are your five aggregates? Your physical body is one aggregate, external form also the form aggregate. Then you got your mind, which has four aggregates. Your mind can feel, can perceive, can become conscious of things, can think, can become emotional. That's why you have Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, and Vijnana, the four aggregates. So if you attach to this aggregate, you will become miserable. So which aggregate you attach to? Sankara is the most. Sankara are all your views, your opinion, your thought, your emotion, your reaction, your fear, everything you hold. Then your consciousness. Because when you see somebody, when you hear through your hearing consciousness and seeing consciousness, then your thought consciousness, then you develop the fear, the phobia, the worry, the anxiety, the frustration you cannot see. Then all these feelings condition you. Because you attach to good feeling, you don't want unpleasant feeling. But what you have been arising is through your wrong thought, is all the unpleasant feeling. That's why you suffer, you become afflicted, you become miserable. You lost your ability to be peaceful, to be cheerful, to be happy. Now in weekend love also, like Alicia, she will smile like anything. Last night she went through worse than you. At the moment she understands, it becomes so different. It just like she also asks herself, how come like that now? Last time she used to panic and worry, and one phone call only, bad news, wow, finished already. Now, that type of phone call comes, no more problem. Understand? She still recounts, don't worry, tell the person over there what actually happened, relate to me. Okay, don't worry. Wait till I come back, or you resolve it this way. Because the reality is more important than that. You don't go and project your thought, go and worry, develop the fear, the anxiety, then you yourself also don't know how to act. You are very confused. And you become so restless, so full of fear. And that is not living life. That is suffering. So all this is what the teaching is all about. That's why it's not what normal living being think. That's why the cultivator of the world, the Dhamma, the cultivator of the teaching of the Dhamma, they will understand it very clearly, and they will know how to apply the understanding to help them resolve all this. If you cannot resolve all this, means you don't have the understanding. Means you still have a lot of sakkayadity, self-delusion. That's why all the evil roots are still there. All your fear, emotion, insecurity, selfishness, all those phobia that you have, they are still very strong in the living being. Now that you understand, you slowly go back, reflect, contemplate, and develop the understanding yourself. You got any more problem you cannot resolve, you can contact me if you want to. Then maybe one day we have to sit down and talk for a while, 1 hour or 2 hours. Like Johan's case, she came for nearly 2 hours. She brought a friend. That friend also finally learned a lot of things. The friend said, you know, we try to advise her, but she cannot, is it? But we were not as good as Brother Theo, is it? The friend told her, we don't know about this teaching, is it? Then after that, the friend also took some of the books back. That friend was a very close friend of her, good friend. So these are very normal life reality. And when you understand, you will know how to overcome them. That's why this meditation is very unique, isn't it? This teaching is very unique, isn't it? It can make you so different. for her case, like when she came, within 10 minutes after I explained, she calmed down straight away. And straight away, there is more confidence in her. I say, what is your worst case scenario? Get a love letter. Means what? They dismiss you or send you. You should rejoice. Blessing in this guy. I'm going to benefit from this. Because you go arbitration, you show win in the industrial court. Then you will get to be compensated a lot. Then I told her, in the meantime, you want to apply for a job, you apply. Otherwise, you take leave and enjoy your life for a while. Because you got nothing to worry. Then even they threaten to report to your new employer or what, you so what? You already know your right. You reply to them, I don't agree with what you write because I came in fully qualified. You interviewed me, you accepted me, gave me probation, and you confirmed me on the job. That means I am qualified based on my qualification and my experience. You accepted me. So as long as I try my best, you cannot fault me. I do not violate your company policy, means I don't come late, I don't cheat and deceive and do all those illegal things or unlawful things. You cannot dismiss me just based on your word that I cannot deliver. Not to say I cannot deliver, but you are being ridiculous. You give deadline that is not realistic. You give me assignment that is beyond my capacity to deliver. You want me to do all this, not a problem. Promote me and send me for courses. Then I will do. Then I will still try my best. That's how you develop the understanding. Then when you know you're right, you will become more confident. That's why sadda, confident, is a very important mental factor. For spiritual, you have to have faith in the Buddha and his teaching and the Triple Gem. But for worldly life, it is self-confident. When you have self-confidence, you don't have fear, worry, anxiety. You already very beautiful. They used to say, when you are confident, half the battle is won. You heard of this? Like exam or something. When you are confident, you go in. You should do well. But when you're full of fear, say, I sure fail already. How to do well? You go in panic. Sometimes see the paper, almost want to collapse there. So, life is not that. When you don't have the Dhamma, you will become afflicted, miserable. That is the first noble truth. When you have the Dhamma and the right understanding, you will be beautiful. That's why Heart Sutta say, when you understand the teaching, what emptiness is, true emptiness is wonderful existence. You will have wonderful life, beautiful life. But when you don't have the understanding, everything also become a problem. Life is full of suffering. Then what you say is true, life is suffering. And this is only true for deluded living beings. Suffering need not be for those who have the understanding, who have the clarity of mind. That's why it can be so beautiful. Life can be so meaningful and so wonderful. Then why don't you go and live life instead of constantly worrying about life? Human beings suffer so much because they are so heedless. They are so full of fear, worry, anxiety. They think a lot. They are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. So much so they never leave. Understand that? If you have a lot of fear, worry, anxiety, how can you live life? Understand that? You become miserable. But when you are constantly at peace, constantly with the understanding, the joy, the heedfulness, everything becomes so pristine and so beautiful and so wonderful. And that type of life is so meaningful and so beautiful. So easy to choose, isn't it? To be heedful or to be heedless. The heedless is as if they, you somehow want to continue to be heedless. That is your choice. The Buddha also cannot help you. But if I were you, I will not waste any time to train my mind to be heedful. Well, the moment I'm heedful, I'm destined for enlightenment. And I'm home. My life become beautiful. That's like 30 over years ago when I start. I never look back. Okay. Sadhu. Now you look a lot more peaceful and calm. You're not so emotional. Just now. So that is something that will benefit most people who are new to the Dhamma. Those who have gone through, they understand. Now they can reflect back and laugh at it. And this is life's reality. Even Christina also went through tough life last time you asked her. She got so much suffering. She was quite similar to Joyce. Last time, drink a lot until drunk. How come back also don't know who bring her back. Don't know how to live life. Got so much frustration, unhappiness. Then somehow the condition fall into place. Then she start to develop the understanding. Then she becomes so different. Then a lot of things went her way. That's why later on she tried to help the brothers, the sister. Then she even finally helped to look after the very sick mother for almost one full year. And nobody believed she can do that. From such a personality can change and transform overnight and become so different. And people can see from the way she changed. Then after that, during the mom's funeral, she did it so well. She planned all those things. Then she tried to benefit the brother and sister, and they really, really appreciate what she did. Then they even invite me to give a sharing at the wake for the first time, you know, in my life. I go to the wake and give Dhamma. I never do it before until she invited me. And that was beautiful. After that, the brother and sister got fed. They even want to buy me lunch and all those things. Then I met them one day at JBA when I deliver a talk. I was so surprised. You know, most of the brothers and sisters were there. You know. Then I said, hey, oh, sadhu. Now they come to the temple and listen to talk. Because they saw the change in her. And that was a tremendous impact. Yeah, these are people whom I don't know. They just came because of past causes and conditions. And even most of you, I don't know you. I only know after you come and join the classes. So all these are what the Buddha called condition, yin yang. Without condition, nothing happened. Okay, anybody else got any question or want to report your meditation? While I take a drink. Yeah, no problem. Slowly, Manchou, slowly. Anybody got any question? Oh, you want to ask Elsie? Pass the mic to her.
Good evening, Brother Teo, brothers and sisters. Today I feel more relaxed, you know. So the rocking is gentle.
Very good.
And I can feel my heartbeat.
Very good. You just silence everything and stay there. Don't try to know anything. At the heart there. Relax, silent. Then later on when you can lie down, like Alicia and Song, do the lying down so that when you sleep, you can also meditate. Meditation can be done in four postures. Standing, sitting, walking, and lying down.
But lying down, I think not at the moment.
Definitely, it will take a while when you are
more stable. So it is just a, what they call, a condition that you will get used to when you understand. Initially, they also cannot do. They also prefer to sit. Then some prefer to do the walking. But very few people know how to do the lying down. That's why if you talk about lying down, most teachers will not allow you to do because they know you will sleep and you will snore. Only certain teacher who have that understanding, they will be able to accommodate what you say and understand what you want to do. I remember when we were in Wat Pat Nanachat, Thailand, the Western disciple of Achan Cha, that famous way place, Wat Pat Nanachat. That time, I remember, there is an abbot, I forgot his name, but Longpo Sumedho was there. Then Sri Panyo was there, Ananda Krishna's son. He was very good, Sri Panyo. He took us around. I remember that was the year 2011, if I'm wrong. So he was very good. He took us around, then he talked to us, then he knew. We have the Dhamma understanding. Then he invited us to the sala to do the meditation and all that. Then we got a lot of those Kayamita who follow me can do the lying down meditation. So somebody in the group asked, Achan, he said, can we do lying down meditation? Oh, Sri Panyo answered very well. He at first he smiled. He said, can, but don't do it here. Otherwise, it can create a lot of unnecessary misunderstanding. He said, you can go back to your kuti and do it. Because here, he said, people are not used to it and people don't understand. So in order to avoid unnecessary misunderstanding, he said, preferably try not to do it here. But then he very good, no? He add this one. No? He said, I understand. Those who can do lying down meditation, they must be very advanced. Otherwise, you cannot. He also know. So we all just smile and we thank him for having the understanding. So later on, when you have the stability and understanding, naturally, you will know how to do it. Okay, Elsie, you can continue.
That's all I want to share.
Oh, that's all. Very good. So very good. So that rocking or the movement slow down already. That's why I said when you have faith, you relax into it, silent, don't resist it. That nature's energy, which could be from all the great beings, Kuan Yin or whatever, it will actually help you.
Another thing, when I did my meditation, I can feel like some light blinking. I don't know whether it's my thought or...
No, never mind, because that one is part of your mind state. It will arise. These are what they call meditative experiences you will go through. You will experience them. They call it nimitta. Nimitta is when you are calm and peaceful. They will manifest as like. So this type of manifestation, different people got different type of nimitta. Some, they are very beautiful. Some, they have different color. But it's not important to have nimitta. But it's a natural tendency. When your mind is calm and is settled down, especially when it's about to enter pity, the nimitta will come. And during the early day, my nimitta helped me in understanding many things. Because my nimitta is purple, violet. Then when it comes, it's very strong. So it's straight away in front of my nose. That's why my anapanasati, nobody taught me, it comes by itself. Then it will know how to do the mindfulness. Then when this nimitta comes, I know how to look at it, most people would have focused and concentrated on it and develop all the jhana and concentration. My mind doesn't do that. My mind just silent, relax, and just fully aware. Then it starts to change, move. It moves so fast inside there. Then it can awaken to the characteristic within there. No matter how fast it moves, the mindfulness and awareness is there. That's why everything is just sankhara, condition arising. Then that mindfulness that is aware of this whole movement is a totally different entity. That one doesn't move. That's why only the phenomenal world move. That's why in the Mahayana teaching, you got two types. One is the phenomenal. The other one is the opposite of phenomenal. What is it? New mono. The phenomenal world is within the new mono world. The new mono world is the oneness. The phenomena are the condition arising thing within the new mono. That's why it's called the phenomenal world. Phenomena are all condition arising state. Whereas new mono is the suchness state. No movement. So you will understand all this as you cultivate, as you go through. That's why the Dhamma is very beautiful. It's way beyond what the mind can understand. When you go into the deep state of consciousness, when you are able to silence and develop the stillness to connect to your true nature, you will understand things that is beyond mind, beyond thought, and so beautiful. Then you can see how that nature is so different. tonight very good. We still got 2 minutes. Anybody got any question? yes.
Just now on the way here with Sister Wendy Chiu.
Yes.
She told me that there was a bad news lah. So maybe we can share merits with this Dr. Mindy Lam.
Oh, okay. What happened?
She is a daughter of our MC, usually Mrs. Lam. She Mrs. Lam in SJBA is always a Mandarin MC.
Oh, yeah,
she's very good.
I know.
MC.
Is it the service that time help to translate on the Sunday service? There was one very good one. I don't know what's her name. I know one of them, the Mandarin, very good one. During the early day, I used to hear her chant on her. Not chant.
She was Sungai Wei, formerly was Sungai Wei school teacher.
She translate.
She do Mandarin, a lot of translation to Mandarin.
She read up your this Paritta thing, not Paritta, your chanting book. She read from there.
Her daughter is a doctor, medicine doctor in Sandakan. She accompanied a patient from Sandakan in an ambulance to Kota Kinabalu, and then the ambulance met with an accident. The patient passed away. She was in coma for don't know how many hours, still in ICU.
How long ago?
2 days.
Today is second day. What's her name?
Mindy Lam.
Hospital is KK,
Hospital in KK.
Mindy.
M-I-N-D-Y, I think. M-I-N-D-E-E. M-I-N-D-E-E. Mindy Lam, L-A-M.
Okay.
Many years ago, I managed to ask the parents, Brother Lam and Mrs. Lam, to attend one of the Thursday night before in Brother Sui An's house. They came before for the Thursday class. Once only.
Never mind.
So now
whatever
she's in
it
ICU.
Is, there is affinity. So we will do what we can to help arise the causes and conditions. Good. Okay, we will evoke power of merits to help her recover the good mind state so that she can give back her life, so that she can be with her parents again. Otherwise, this is one of the noble truth reality in the sana. Separation, pending separation.
Okay, good. We will recall to mind all of the merits and wholesomeness that we have developed over the past 2 hours or so. Then maybe develop this understanding to help out to bring forth the causes and conditions for our sister Mindy Lam to recover to whatever mind state that can allow her to become a normal doctor again so that she can return to normal life to serve humanity, to save more life. Then she can be with her parents again so that they can have a beautiful family reunion by the power of whatever wholesomeness that we have developed through this sharing and through this participation in this Dhamma sharing and Puja sharing. May it arise the causes and conditions for Mindy Lam and family to realize their good and noble wish so that they can give back their life to become normal living being again. And we wish them well-being and happiness. May she and her family to be free from suffering, free from harm and danger, free from all mental and physical suffering. May no harm come to them. May their mind states to be free from all karmic negativity, free from all delusion. May they develop the right understanding to confront life bravely. And may it arise the causes and conditions for them to have the ability to meet up with their daughter when she recover from her coma. So with all this, we shall now develop the sharing of merits and transfer merits to all the devas, to all those who can receive. Then we will make the invocation of power of truth. So now I will chant the sharing of merits with all the devas. Akasata ca bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakkhantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata ca amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed ones and those who can receive them. Idang me nyati nang ho tu sukit untu nyatayo. Idang me nyati nang ho tu sukita untu nyatayo. Idang me nyati nang ho tu sukita untu nyatayo. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives and those who can receive them. May they all to be well and happy always. Okay, we will invoke the blessing for all nation. Devo vasatakalena sasa sampati heto cha vito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rainfall in due season May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous. Okay, you make your aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish and the heedless, but only the wise and the enlightened until Nibbana can be realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you can pay respect mindfully, yeah, to Lord Buddha. Then we will end.
Show our respect and gratitude by Subhavatiyo for sharing the Buddha Dharma tonight with us by saying Sadhu Chitan Subhavatiyo.
Sadhu
to Brother you and Sister Masuri for allowing us to come to their beautiful house to listen to the Dharma sharing.
Just let me know.